You're, I'm LJ.
What's cracking, y'all? It's Stevie Nicks.
And we're Knicks fans.
And welcome to Knicks Anonymous.
Myself, and I think we see Willis coming out.
Fast break to Walt Frazier. Frazier then slows it down. It's picked up by Jerry West at the top of the post. Three.
The New York Knicks.
Here's David Stern with the announcement.
First pick, select Patrick Ewing.
Bernard looking for 50, and he's got it. Back to back 50 point games for Bernard King.
Anthony for three.
Johnson cuts left, now fires a three, it is good, and he's fouled! It counts, and he is fouled!
Barrett drives down, this time finishes with authority.
Yeah, what it do, New York? Welcome back to another episode of
Knicks Anonymous.
Y'all thought it was over? Y'all thought the show stops?
Thought I told you that we won't stop.
The show must go on, folks. Welcome back. Episode, 66. I'm jacking it.
Let's see if
Episode
you're right.
Episode 66, my boy. I'm feeling good about that one.
You're right.
Woo!
Episode 66.
Clap it up for your boy. I am LJ. That is...
Stevie's in the building.
Yes, sir. Shout out to the Knicks Anonymous family, per usual. For all the newcomers out there, Stevie, tell them where they could find us.
Follow us on Instagram at Knicks Anonymous, and you could find us on platforms such as Amazon Music, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Breaker, or you could simply just Google us.
Oof. Again, almost like you write it down.
Maybe I do, maybe I don't. I guess I'm the only one who knows that.
You got like one of those James Bond eye, those contacts with the words in it.
That'd be sweet, but unfortunately I don't.
Yo, completely off topic, like rambling, but like when I was like smaller, like I'll say like 8 years old, I always wished I had like those contacts so I could cheat on tests and like do homework properly. But there's a life lesson in all of this. Do your work. No shortcuts.
Or wait till that technology comes out.
Or wait till that technology comes out.
It just might happen.
Might just happen. Why not? It's probably out right now. Who knows? This world is crazy enough, man. Can't get enough.
Yeah, I'm under the impression the government's about 20 years ahead of us, so they might have it.
Oh, it's all about the government, isn't it?
It always will be.
Except when it comes to Knicks.
Oh, yeah. Screw the government when it comes to that.
Yeah. So, obviously, we're not going to be talking about any games because the Knicks are...
Done.
Finito.
It is what it is.
Unfortunately, but there's always stuff to talk about. And today, we got some interesting topics. We got Stephen A. Smith incident.
I don't want to call it an incident.
Just a sighting.
Him being him.
We're going to play it throughout the episode, but if you want to check the whole video out and comment how you feel... Follow us at Knicks Anonymous.
Yeah, I posted that video a few days ago. Y'all should see it.
It's there. I'm actually going to put a poll about it, too. I didn't do that. I'm going to do it now. You heard it here. So go check it out, Knicks Anonymous. You already know how we do.
I say just play the audio. Let's just get it over with.
No, yeah.
I have a lot to say.
And then after that, we're going to talk about some Allen Houston sightings. But yeah, for right now, let's...
I have a lot to say about this.
Let's
I'll try to be nice, but I won't make no promises.
Let's get the video out here. So Stephen A. Smith recently has said some very interesting things. Do you want to play the whole video and then like play it back, or do you want to skip while the video is playing, or do you want to play it right through?
Play it and we'll just pause when we want to stop and discuss. Because I know we're going to be like, hold up, wait a minute.
No, not yet.
We're going to have a few of those moments.
This is some bullshit. Yeah, so we're just going to let it go.
Action.
And it's a damn shame that every time I turn around and look at the New York Knicks, y'all run around organizationally, not the players. I'm talking about management. You run around like a bunch of wusses, scared of your own damn shadow. Mainly led by James Dolan, who's as petulant as they come. Worldwide West is an asset to that organization. Kenny Payne and the rest of the coaching staff is an asset. Tom Thibodeau is an asset. The management, Scott Perry and those boys are assets. But Dolan is a child. And Leon Rose should have enough clout to be bigger than he's been. Disappeared. I mean, you got guys in state penitentiaries more accessible to him. It's embarrassing. And it's weak. And that's why the New York Knicks don't seem to grow with any damn consistency. Because of the cowardice tendencies that y'all continue to display. Make me sick. Change the subject. I'm so sick of y'all. Just embarrassing. All the damn time. All because y'all can't grow up.
Let's leave it there and go to the opposite.
Wow. So, you know what? I guess my first thing I'm going to say is because...
That's coming from the number one Knicks fan, by the way.
Yeah, you know what? I'll get to that in a second because last year they were his Knicks. And, you know, here we are today. But, you know what?
Okay, let's start from the beginning.
No, wait, let me ask something.
Okay.
Because can we agree that mostly everything he said was invalid?
Yeah, I don't know what...
Okay, like, before we get into the invalidity... What was valid in there? I can name one thing that was valid.
I can say that you know, Dolan, yes, Dolan's not a good owner, but for him to say like Dolan is a wuss now, like we haven't heard Dolan's voice in like 2 years.
And that's great, bro. Knicks fan, bro, if you hear Dolan's voice, that means things are bad.
So wait, what was your thing? Did I get it or
No. I didn't even think about that, but that's valid. I'll agree to that. I was gonna say he actually gave credit to the players for once.
Okay, yes.
I'll give him that. We got a lot of our guys suck. We ain't got no young assets. We ain't got none of that. Somebody on ESPN actually credited the players. It was only for like a half a second, but they did it.
And it was messed up with a bunch of nonsense that it probably went over your head.
Exactly. Like that's why everything he's there is nothing valid. If you think what he said is valid, you don't know. You either don't watch the Knicks
and what he did.
Or you're just a troll.
Here's also what he said was valid.
Okay.
That Tom Thibodeau was an asset.
Uh huh. I can agree to that.
Scott Perry?
Scott Perry
is an asset. He said someone else. I think he said Houston.
Oh, Worldwide right? West.
Who is that?
He's the, I don't know his exact title, but I would say he's probably like our team's image coordinator in a way.
Okay.
Him and Steve Stout.
Okay. So yeah, he acknowledged they're all assets. So what, I don't understand what, you know.
He was going off, bro, you know what I got out of this? He sounds tight. And not just him, ESPN, and other media outlets are tight that Leon Rose gave his first interview after how long? Almost a year and some change. And he's giving the... Think about that.
I mean, he...
You're upset at a dude who hasn't spoken in over a year, maybe two.
I think he's trying to say that he should have spoken up sooner.
That's fine. No, I don't want Leon Rose talking. Leon Rose talking gives them the opportunity to get sound bites and to twist it into what they're doing. That's what they're really mad about. Leon Rose isn't giving them sound bites.
He's giving them no ammunition.
Because if there's no sound bites for the Knicks, you got to get dumbass rants like this. Yeah, there's no news.
This was a pretty fucking dumb rant. Okay, so let's dissect it, right? In the beginning, he called us wusses. He called the front office a bunch of wusses.
It's because they're not giving them sound bites. That's why. That's what they want.
Okay.
He wants... I guess what ESPN tries to do is to stir the pot like that. So you can get a response from Leon Rose or Dolan and say, we're not wusses. I guess that's what they want. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like.
But we're not. Maybe the past Knicks regimes would have gave you that, but not this one, bro. This is what I think this is what upsets the media, ESPN. We're not giving them what they want.
You're mad at him because he thoroughly examined the year and gave his conclusion. You can't give a conclusion when something isn't finished.
Facts. I understand we took a step back, and that's probably what Stephen A. is frustrated at. I assume all Knicks fans are, bro, but like...
And why are you embarrassed? What are you embarrassed of?
To talk about people that are wusses? Like, you know damn well you are not saying that to none of these people when you set foot in the Garden.
I'm sick of it.
You're not saying none of that, bro.
I bet if
Dolan sat right next to Stephen A. Smith, he wouldn't say that to him.
I'm sick of it. You think he'd tell him like, just like that? I'm sick of it.
No, he'd probably shake his hand and said, hey, Mr. Dolan, how you doing? You know damn well you would, too.
Yeah.
He a billionaire, bro. ESPN want that contract money.
Yeah.
Knicks is big money. You know what time it is.
And they're mad they can't spit on them.
Not happening no more, bro.
After him saying
that. All those guys are assets.
Yeah.
You know who probably told Leon Rose not to speak? Those assets. How about that one?
Bullseye.
You know what I mean?
Because Scott Perry's what? He's the...
He's like an assistant general. He's the last piece of management from the last regime.
You know what I mean? So he's over. He's kind of over Leon Rose in a way.
Nah. I would say like I won't say he's over him because Leon Rose is basically the president. He's the I guess the right hand man. I guess he'd be the right, and Allen Houston would be the left.
Yeah, like they're a team. You know what I mean? Like they all make the Knicks. You know what I mean? The Knicks aren't individuals. The Knicks organization is one whole. So what if you like what these guys are doing, these guys are just going off what Leon Rose is giving them to do. You know what I mean?
Facts. I mean,
Leon Rose is just the one that tells them what to do and the things that you like them to do.
Exactly, bro. Like, that was a pointless rant. You just
It was a pointless rant.
You wanted clicks.
And what are you sick of? Sick of what? Did you not see the last half of the season? What are you sick of, bro?
He says we're not growing. Bro, like, what are you talking about? Bro, for once, we have a youth movement going. We have 7 players under the age of 25. And they're all pretty decent.
And they're all blooming.
And they're all pretty decent players. Some might even develop into all-stars.
RJ.
So, yeah, already. Who knows what OB and IQ going to do? Who knows what Grimes going to do? You know what I mean? We might not even... With all the trade talk going on and we got all these assets, it's possible we might not make a trade. Because we see how... See what Memphis did? All that is young players and Steven Adams.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, and OKC is going to go down that road.
Exactly. Soon. OKC. Yo, give OKC a few years. They're going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So we're doing their thing. We just happen to have the assets to actually swing a deal this time around. But whether we do it or not, I guess that's the story of this offseason.
It's extremely funny to me, bro, because it's almost like Stephen A. Smith is saying, like, he should have came out. Because I'm sure he's also, he didn't say it, but you can tell this is where he's coming from. You could tell he's meaning, like, when Randle was doing bad, like, we should have traded him or made it more trades in the offseason. Like, where were you through all that? Everybody, it's funny because everyone prays that the Knicks don't make a Knick move. Like, they pray on it. They pray. They go to church and they pray the Knicks don't make a Knick move.
No, it's not even that. They pray we do make a move so they can have something to talk about.
No, but this is what I'm saying, though. Like, they don't want us to make a bad move. But for some reason, like, this is what we're talking about, like, when you think logically. Like, this is why we're here. We want to remind everybody, because, like, this is what the whole dumpster fire thing.
Yeah, we've had that conversation many times.
It's not a dumpster fire. It's a bad season, right? But dumpster fire is, I will remind you every day if I have to. David Fizdale.
That's a dumpster fire.
17 wins.
Bro, that,
out of an 82-game season.
That's a dumpster fire that you put out and then put more gasoline on it and light it again.
Knick fans, Knick media.
Calm down.
We need consistency. Do you or do you not want the Knicks to make a Knick move? Answer me.
Bro, you do not want a Knick move. At least a classic Knick move.
Yeah, not just a Knick move, a classic Knick move. So basically my point was trying to say, if you missed it, it went over your heads. Let me simplify it a little bit. I don't understand why everyone's praying the Knicks to not want to make a Knick move and then automatically jump to the, like, firing Thibodeau. That's a Knick move. And everybody wanted it to happen.
Our fan base don't make sense sometimes, bro. It really doesn't.
You know what I mean? Like,
this fan base makes absolute... I mean, I say the whole fan base. Because I'm not going to say we're the smartest Knicks fans out there. We know it all. But we at least try to come in with the facts, dude.
And not for nothing, it was slowly happening to quickly, too. I don't know if you peeped. He was doing bad this year, and it was the talks were slowly talking about how, you know, maybe he's not the right player.
Yeah.
Now it's, whoa.
Yeah, now it's, he might be our point guard. You know what I mean? Like,
where's the consistency?
Our fan base is not consistent at all.
Now, we may be hypocrites in our own right. I'm sure you could find us talking mad shit in our past episodes.
Yeah.
But the thing about us is we learn from our mistakes, which is why we're talking about this situation now. We understand where we've wronged, and we are here to help you succeed. Knicks fans, do not listen to Stephen A. Smith. Whatever this man is talking about is complete rubbish.
Anybody on ESPN, for that matter. Dude, the only reporters on ESPN that you should listen to that'll give you an exclusive or a woe, well, I already gave him away by saying a Woj bomb, Adrian Wojnarowski. Either him, Shams, or I forgot Shams for his whole name, but I know him as Shams. Y'all know who Shams is if you watch ESPN. Him and Woj is pretty much the only reliable sources. If
yeah.
they say something's going down, there's truth to it. Stephen A., Max Kellerman, any of them people say anything, that's bullshit. You don't hear from Woj or Shams, it's nothing to
bro,
it.
I'll never forget when Max Kellerman said, with the death being pointed at Earth, game on the line, who I want taking the three-pointer? Steph Curry or Iguodala? Who do you think he said?
He said Iguodala. Not that Iguodala's a bad choice, but I'm not picking him over Steph Curry. You know what's crazy? I don't think that comment is as dumb as people make it out to be because Iguodala's reliable. You wouldn't want Iguodala taking a clutch shot.
You saw the smile on his face. You knew what he was doing.
Nah, but truthfully, truthfully, I understand he was probably doing that. But if Iguodala's open, I know we're a little off topic, but since you brought it up, if Iguodala's open, you don't want him taking the shot?
If I have Curry open.
No. All right, Curry's out the conversation.
I mean, I'm taking that shot.
Okay. Now, over Iguodala?
Yeah, I'm taking that shot. If I'm in the NBA, I'm taking that shot.
I guess, bro. I don't know, man. Iguodala's reliable. I just would not have him take that shot over Curry. And that's what it sounded
he
was saying.
I give Iguodala's kudos. He's been around for quite some time.
Yeah,
he's a solid veteran.
He's reliable. I don't know about now, because he's old as hell now. But
he's still on the Warriors.
But I haven't heard anything from him, so I'm not sure if...
He's like,
I don't know if he did anything this year or not.
He's like Shane Battier. You remember Battier?
Of course I remember Shane Battier.
It's like Shane Battier of the Golden State Warriors.
It's not bad. It's a good thing.
Yeah. He's like their veteran. But fuck all that.
Yeah, yeah. Point is, Stephen A. Smith was off base, as usual. He said nothing. He's living off past narratives. Some facts to those past narratives, I won't lie. But bro, like, it's a whole new day. Like,
and a whole new season.
Let it go. I understand we're salty that we've been losers for a long time, bro. But let that salt
so
go.
Why are you so...
Salt is bad for your diet, dude. That's why people die from heart attacks every day. Get the salt out of your system.
How can you be mad for being somewhere you were already at?
He's
like we're bad. So how can you be mad that we're bad? You know what I mean? People say, yeah, the Knicks aren't that good of a team, but are mad when we become when we're in 11th place. Ninth place.
I don't know. They expected,
and then people always say
they expected a title from us for some reason.
And then people always say the Eastern Conference got harder, and yet the Knicks are still at fault for being where they are.
I think we should have been better. I can understand people's frustration, but remember, as I say all the time, beginning of the year, we predicted a step back. Just didn't think it was this much of a step back. So we kind of saw this coming.
And finishing the year, we took like 3 steps forward.
I didn't see that coming, actually. I thought we was going to bottom out.
Yeah, we took 3 steps
forward. That's how bad it was in February. I thought we were going to bottom out.
It was bad. Don't get me wrong. It was, listen.
I didn't say it on the show because I didn't want to be negative, but I really thought we were going to bottom out. I really did. It wasn't like, if I had to say the percentage in my brain that I thought it, I would say 40.
Okay, at least it wasn't at 50, but that's a pretty good, that's a pretty high number. It's a pretty high percentage.
No, luckily I was wrong. I'm glad.
Yeah. I didn't know. I just wanted to see something. I needed to see something that moving forward we'll be all right.
And I did.
You know what? We'll be all right.
We did. Bro, we got 3 young pieces blossoming before our eyes. Barrett, Quickly, and Toppin. Other pieces that showed a little something. I'll say that. Grimes showed a little something. Deuce has to show more, but we've seen some that he could be good. Unfortunately, Cam got hurt, but he's not that seriously hurt, so we'll be back. He'll be back next season. And did I leave anybody out?
Let's talk about Randall.
Sims. And then there's Sims, the brick wall.
Yes.
I have nothing bad to say about him, aside from he's raw offensively. He can work on that, so everything else, he's good.
And Mitch is still the question mark. I don't think we're going to sign him. No word, no nothing has been leaked yet, but
I think it's possible he stays.
I think they're just making it very hard. Maybe they're just doing this on purpose.
Who knows?
Yeah, suspense.
Possible.
The suspense.
It's possible, man, but
I don't see why not they wouldn't. I mean, maybe to stretch the floor. You know what I mean? We always said we needed a stretch.
Maybe it's a money issue. Maybe, like I said, man, like I would.
Because we got to remember, man, what they're really worried about is RJ's contract.
Yeah.
That's their top priority right now. They're worried about how they're going to be able to pay this man if he continues. I have to say if, because we don't know. It could be a Randall situation. But I want to get to Randall eventually in this show. Because he does pop up, so I'm not going to talk about him yet.
We're not hard, but he made an appearance.
He made an appearance. And it shows a lot through character. So, New York fans, brace yourself for that conversation. You're not going to like it. But, you know, was I talking about RJ, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so
his development.
You know, I have to say if, because, you know, you never know what's going to happen. But they have to make sure that if he does,
they have that bread,
because he is up for a max next year.
So I think they might let Mitch walk if that's the case.
They're betting all their odds on RJ. That's not a bad bet, in my opinion.
Yeah, and like we said before, it's not like, and I hate to say it because I love Mitch and I hope he stays, but
business is business, man. That too, unfortunately.
That too, but if you got a guy like Jericho Sims who could step in should he walk, and for a lesser price, because he's a second-round pick as well. So if Sims keeps playing well...
Oh, and who picked him, by the way?
Leon Rose.
Oh, man, there you go. There you go. There you go, Stephen A.
The quiet guy.
There you go, Stephen A. You know the guy who doesn't make himself known. You piece of shit.
If he walks, you know, we have a cheaper option with Jericho Sims, and we still get a chance to get a backup, possibly Mo Bamba. That's what all the rumors are saying. Mo Bamba's supposedly going to be a Nick.
So, I got hoes.
So it would cost less to have them two than it would be to re-sign Mitch. So I get the business end of it, but like, I wouldn't be mad if he stood.
No, we definitely need him. Yeah, his presence.
I would not be mad if he stood.
His presence has made itself felt. You know what I mean? He definitely has. He definitely makes a difference on the court.
No, but that's...
But the problem is, you know, his main problem is the spacing. Not that it's a problem in any way, shape, or form, especially if Quickly...
It's an issue, not a problem. I would say that.
Yes, it's an issue. It does deter a lot of buckets from being made from Randall and RJ because they are both slashers. Plus Toppin. But Toppin is slowly developing that jump shot, which I'm liking.
That's going to be scary, dude. If he hits that consistently, that's going to be scary.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of potential to look forward, man.
Don't listen to Stephen A.
Unfortunately, though, like,
don't listen to Stephen A. Smith.
Don't. I mean, you don't have to listen to us either. But I mean, if you really had to pick your poison, why wouldn't you pick us?
Yeah, man, we're gonna at least, dude. Like, we're not gonna sugarcoat nothing. If something's bad, I'm gonna tell you it's bad.
Why wouldn't you pick us?
But we're not gonna do some Stephen A. shit.
We have sound effects.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that too. We don't have to yell and scream like Stephen A. and ESPN.
We just keep it how it is, man. We keep it 100. Think about it. How it's completely insane to not be able to talk about that. Like, it's not there. You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm saying that properly, but like, how can you make up something? Like, how can you not keep it real about something? How can I not talk about what I see?
ESPN does it all the time.
How do you do that?
They talk about what they see, but they just twist it for likes, clicks, comments, and all, and reactions. Because you know why they did that? They tried to draw in the troll crowd.
So you think we fell into their trap? Because we kind of triggered right now.
Not really. We just reacted to what he said. There's nothing wrong with that. This is what our show is. We react to Knicks shit.
Yeah. You know? So, that's a fact. And we bring it to truth.
Yeah.
Or as much truth as we can.
Exactly, dude.
We have no reason to lie to you. They have every reason to. Put
and
it
we,
like that.
And unlike ESPN, we tell y'all if we say some wrong shit, let us know.
Put it in the comments.
Put it in the comments and it's a message. Say, yo, y'all tripping. This is wrong and here's why. Y'all crazy.
Yeah.
And if you prove us wrong, we gonna shout you out. Shout like, you oh, out. Wow, we didn't know. shout gonna, out, you know what I mean?
Exactly. We're gonna be the claps.
ESPN not doing that. They gonna stick to their guns no matter how wrong they are. How many times have you ever heard, hell, even the show with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp does it. You ain't never hear none of them admit they was wrong.
Why would they?
You never heard not one sports anchor in the history of television come on TV talk about I got this prediction wrong. Or I got this wrong. Never heard that. Not even a regular news media. News media get shit wrong all the time. Especially the weatherman. Don't get me started on him.
Oh. Hashtag don't bring your umbrella, but it rains.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But let's move on from ESPN, man. We kind of tight at them.
No, I mean, this is
good. I say tight, but like, no, that was some bullshit,
We're triggered. I can't lie. We're triggered. Nah, because it came out of left field.
Triggered is a strong word. Because triggered is like, I ain't breaking glasses and throwing shit at the wall because of what you
said. So we're like, we prematurely triggered.
No, I wouldn't even say that. We just reacting to some bullshit.
Okay, it is bullshit. Because it came out of left field. It literally came out of nowhere. Like, yeah. No, out of no context, nothing. He just... Like, what was even the question? Like, how did that even arise?
I'm curious. That's a good question, because I don't even know what the question was. I just caught the quote.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't even matter what the question was. It was completely irrelevant. It was obviously made for clickbait. And God damn it, we clicked it. But,
I mean, we had to click. We had to share the bullshit with y'all. Like, yo, look at this shit.
In a way, it's kind of like helping them, because we are giving them promotion. You know, fuck ESPN. We're not promoting them, by the way.
Nah, we not. We just, like I said,
the bullshit.
We're showing you bullshit. We want to see what you think about the bullshit. And that's it. We'll let the bullshit go.
We'll let the truth speak until, for itself.
Until the next bullshit comes along. Because like, you know bullshit gonna come.
You ever seen V for Vendetta?
Of course. I saw it in the movies, actually.
I can only give you the information. What you do with it, it's completely up to you. You know what I mean? We're just here to share our view. If they're able to share their fucking weird views, and we're able to show our weird views.
I want
to
say our views are weird.
I know, but I just had to say weird because I said call them weird, so you know.
But they are weird. Bunch of weirdos.
They are. They are weirdos.
Those dudes read from a script.
Ooh.
I'm convinced.
No, they do.
I'm convinced them dudes read. And I don't mean
they have a prompt.
Yeah, but not word for word. They tell them, because the way ESPN is, at least from what I think, is they tell them, this is what you're going to say, this is what you're going to talk about, this is what you can't say, go.
Which is, you know what our rules here?
You say whatever the hell you want here.
There are no fucking rules. Ah, claps, air horns.
You know what, let's move on from ESPN. Let's talk about Saturday. Let's talk about Saturday.
Saturday was the playoffs, correct?
Yeah.
Utah Jazz versus...
The Knicks aren't in the playoffs, but we did make headlines. The Utah Jazz versus the Dallas Mavericks. That's a close game. Knicks fans should all be watching because, you know, for all the Donovan Mitchell rumors. As well as the Jalen Brunson rumors.
And for Knicks anonymous personal reasons, Mike TV happens to be a Mavericks fan. So if he loses...
We get to talk shit to him.
We get to talk shit, exactly. Boo that man. Fuck you, Mike.
Alright, but let's talk about it. Utah won game one. I think the final score was 99-93, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have it in front of me at the moment. But that's not the big news. The big news was who was in the building. Who was in the building, you might ask? The Knicks was in the building. Not the full squad.
Now, which Knicks, you might ask?
Not the full squad. But Allen Houston... I think Worldwide West was there, and it just so happened, supposedly they didn't go together, they went separately, but Julius Randle was there as well.
Now, granted, Julius Randle is a hometown native. He is from Dallas. Did they play in Dallas or did they play in Utah?
No, they were in Utah. But, you bring that up. You know what? I'll put it in the form of a question. What do you get out of them being in that arena?
Okay, so for the standpoint of the business, for Allen Houston, Who else was there?
I believe World Wide West.
World Wide West. Is that his, like, real name?
It's not his real name. That's his nickname.
Okay. And who else you said? Or was it just them two?
It was them two and Randall.
Randall, okay.
I believe.
So, for these two gentlemen, Allen Houston and West...
You call him West.
I'm gonna call him West. That's one hell of a name, my boy.
You better be worldwide with a name like that.
Yeah, that's one hell of a nickname, bro. Like WWW.
Triple dub. Heard you.
Man, we needed some of those right now. Anyway, so with those, their purpose obviously is they're looking for any potential. Like you said, the rumors lately have been Brunson and
Mitchell.
The
question is, which one were they scouting?
They were probably scouting. They were looking at all their options. And I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't talk to anybody, because they know the players. They know how, especially Donovan. You know what I mean? So they already know how he plays. I'm thinking they were there for more personal issues.
I think they were there for Brunson.
Think so?
Yeah, I was talking with your pops about it yesterday. He was like, and he said this. It is the truth. He said, like, do they really need to scout Donovan Mitchell?
You know what I mean?
Do they really need to do that? So that's what I was like, yeah, you're right. They there for Brunson.
Or somebody.
Or somebody else. But, okay, since we got that out the way, I guess the next question is, why do you think Randall was there? Was he with the team? Because there's two things I get out of that. Two possible things. And feel free to pick which one you think it is or if there's another possibility. He's either with the team scouting his destination, because like you said, he's a native Dallas guy. Or he's helping them scout Brunson. Or he's there to chat Donovan Mitchell. So it's one of them three things. So, or another possibility. What do you think?
Okay, so I think we may be like an MCU kind of thing right now. Like we might be in a multiverse of madness type of shit. Because check this out.
Okay.
My dad... Papa Nick's Anonymous, shout out. He has brought up a very good point. Why would you scout Donovan Mitchell? Now, if they're scouting the Mavericks, that means we may have some trading to do with them.
So you think Julius Randle for Jalen Brunson is in the works?
Well, I don't know, just Brunson, maybe there may be like a third team, like maybe they might like a three-man trade or some wild shit, because I'm not gonna lie, I'm not good with the GM stuff of things, but it does make sense. I mean, maybe Randall was there just because if Randall wasn't there with the team, then he wasn't scouting. I mean, I don't know what he was doing. He could have either been scouting for players that he wanted to play with on the Knicks or on such team, whether it be the Jazz or... Because a Randall type of player might actually move towards a Donovan Mitchell type of trade more than a Brunson type of trade.
Maybe. I guess it would depend.
Because Randall would definitely be worth more going towards Mitchell than Brunson.
True. But then again, that all depends on... I guess that all depends on it, how much we want Brunson. If we want him a little, if we want him a lot. Because they're talking about that whole... $20 million. And I like Jalen Brunson. Very efficient point guard. Good offensively. Good passer. But $20 million?
Yeah, if we're not going to give Mitch 14, there's no way we're getting
Brunson. Yeah,
that
don't make no sense to me. Like, we're not going to pay Mitch, but we're going to pay him. And there's no disrespect to Brunson, man, but we got to pay our boys first before we bring anybody in. Because we got to have something to build around.
Yeah.
But... A Randall for Brunson trade actually makes sense a little bit. It kind of does.
Because we wouldn't have to pay him that, would we?
No, we would, because they would have to sign him. And I would assume it would be a sign-in trade involving either Randall or Mitch. It's gonna be one of those two, especially if Randall was there. And he didn't go with them. Unless the Knicks did a chess move and said, yo, we're going to go together, front like you going separate, and then we meet up. That's possible.
Maybe. I mean, they could have all been on the same page. Maybe he just didn't want to sit with them. He just wanted to sit with his wife, kids.
Who knows,
family,
man.
Family time. Was he there alone, or was he there with his family?
I did not see the wife and kids, so I assume he was there alone.
So he was there on... That's a business move right there.
That's what I'm saying.
He's there on business.
But what business, though? Is it for the Knicks? Is it for the Mavs? Is it for the Jazz? Are they working like a three-team trade out? Is there even a trade at all?
So that means we should keep our eyes with those two teams moving into the offseason.
I would assume so.
Because that's a lot of heat from the Knicks to be in one building for Utah and Dallas Mavericks.
Exactly. Like, they're not there just to watch the game.
No, especially if we see them there again at one of these games.
So that would be tonight, wouldn't it? Is game two tonight?
Yeah, game two is tonight.
Let me check
and
the schedule.
Luka Doncic is out again. Take that, Mike.
But I don't want Utah to win because that means he stays.
True. I don't know. I think I'd get way more pleasure.
Yeah, it is tonight. As a matter of fact, they're starting now. Well, not starting now, but it already started. Dallas is winning 14-6 at the moment.
So it would be interesting if we see them there again at one of these games. Especially at Dallas. If Randle goes.
Yeah, that'll be real interesting if they're not there today and they're at Dallas. Yeah, that's something to pay attention to.
That'll be real interesting.
That is definitely something to look at. So this offseason is going to be pretty interesting. I can't even lie.
Something is coming.
Would you say this is like, I know the Knicks say this every year, but would you say this is one of the most important offseasons in memory?
No.
I agree.
I agree. I'm thinking the next one. Because I think there's more free agents next year.
We would have to look at that list. I don't know off the top.
I think it's definitely better than this year. Or, yeah, this year was DeMar DeRozan, Lonzo Ball, right?
Yeah, last year.
Vucevic. I think next year is going to... I don't know if we'll even sign anybody to free agents.
This year is not a good year. Like, I don't think... Like, this is why I don't think we should overpay Brunson. Because this is not a good year to overpay free agents.
I think
it's a weak class. Like, this is not the year to overpay. It's not.
I think the first year when we made it to the playoffs, we put down a foundation.
Okay.
This year, I feel like we have laid a single brick upon that foundation. And the single bricks are... Or the single brick, sorry, I said bricks in plural. Single brick are the young cats. You know what I mean? Like, we laid a foundation the first year.
I'm with you.
Right,
with
just you. Just the pavement.
It just so happens we made the playoffs that first year.
Yes, we laid something down, right? We were building towards something, right? We may have tinkered with the blueprint. You know, some things didn't go according to plan. Some moves didn't, you know, Kemba, you know, some moves didn't come out the way we wanted them to do. But I feel like even though this year was bad, I think this year was the start of the true rebuild.
No, I would say it started already. I think our rebuild started. We just got, as a fan base, we just got hyped off the fact that the rebuild led to results so fast. And it free-falled. I won't say free-fall, that's a strong word, but I'll use it anyway. We kind of sort of took a free-fall this year compared to last year. That's why a lot of fans are agitated. So, like, nah, we already established we were a rebuilding team last year, even when we were winning. We always said that. You know what I mean? Just so happens we overachieved. Do I think this offseason is going to be our most important in years? Nah, I agree with you on that. But it is a transition year, and that is important. Is it the most important?
Transition in meaning?
Meaning this offseason is going to tell us whether we are what we were last year or we are what we are this year.
Yeah, because we're 1-1 pretty much.
Exactly.
This is the year.
So next year, should we take a step back again? Or
they always say year three is the year.
Yes, exactly. So if we either take a step back or stay where we are, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So that's why...
And like we said, that's when the hot seat becomes hot for all these guys.
Exactly. That's why this year is a transition year. It's important, but it's not the most important. So I agree with you on that. Next year will be the important year, or the year after.
Those, you know, 2 years, yeah.
Because this year we're going to find out, okay, if we make a trade, it's going to be for Mitchell. That's the only blockbuster trade I see us making. If that doesn't happen, we're not making a trade. We're going to make minor signings, which wouldn't be a bad thing because I don't mind building around the youth. So, like, it's going to be an odd offseason. And I don't mean that in a bad way because we don't know what direction they're going to take.
Yeah, that's the one thing that reoccurred in a couple of episodes we did. Like, we don't know if they're going to center, point guard.
Not even that, because, like, with all the trade rumors we're talking about, they might not even make a trade.
And, yeah, that too.
We might just keep our youth and let them grow, like I said, like the way the Grizzlies did.
And I have no problems with that at all.
Yeah, because the Grizzlies, like I said, is a bunch of young cats and Steven Adams.
We have a bunch of young cats.
And Mitch.
And D-Rose.
And D-Rose. And Taj.
Yeah, and Taj. Yeah, especially Taj.
So, yeah,
meh.
Our formula...
That was a goat noise, by the way.
Threw me off with the goat noise. Our formula might work for us next year the way it worked for the Grizzlies this year. So we got to see how the youth transpires.
And it's not like our formula doesn't work. It took us to the playoffs.
Yeah, man. Like, calm down, Knicks fans. I guess that's the point. I keep telling y'all that.
The fact we made it to the playoffs should keep your hopes up that we could do it again. We didn't do it this year, but that doesn't mean we can't do it next year.
Yeah,
dude. And we're definitely not going to do it if Tibbs is fired.
Exactly, dude. Exactly. And I like, bro, the greatest thing I heard this week, I don't know if you heard it, but they did an interview, The Raw Hebrew. Shout out to The Hebrew, by the way.
Claps.
Best Nick analyst on YouTube. If y'all don't watch, check out Raw Hebrew Remnant for those who don't. For those who want, like, in-depth Nick knowledge, check him out, yo.
Subscribe here first.
Oh, yeah, show us love, too. But I like shouting him out, man, because that dude knows his shit. He knows his shit more than analysts on TV.
Yes.
And he's just a regular-ass Joe.
Yes. We would love to have you on, by the way.
Oh, hell yeah. I would love to have... I would be honored to have the Hebrew on here. It was Mark Berman, the Hebrew, and I think of the Nick of Time podcast. Shout out to them, by the way, too. They're a pretty good podcast. And...
Late claps.
According to the Hebrew asked Mark Berman, I think it was either the Hebrew or the Nick of Time guy asked Mark Berman, did Tibbs have any regrets? And this is great to hear. And I'm gonna bring the New York Giants into it. I know you don't like the Giants.
Shit.
But I'm gonna make an analogy here. But this is good. You're gonna like why.
Okay, go ahead.
Tibbs regrets not giving the youth the amount of time they should have gotten.
Ooh.
And the reason I brought the Giants into this is because of this. Before the Giants won their Super Bowl against the Patriots in 2007, the undefeated season that we stopped the Patriots from having, the year before, basically they were saying if you don't improve, Tom Coughlin, the coach at the time, Tom Coughlin would have been fired. So basically, if we didn't pull that miracle run out our ass, Tom Coughlin would have been gone. And a lot of the complaints was he wasn't evolving to the young players. He wasn't changing with the times. Because Tom Coughlin was like an old school, I won't say military guy, because I don't know if he was in the military or not. But his style of coaching was basically also military
very
shit.
Very strict, very
yes. Tom stern. Coughlin was a real strict dude, bro. And a lot of the Giants didn't like it. The very next year, your man softened up just a little bit. Just a little bit. And that made the most difference. I bring that up to say this. For Thibodeau to admit that, or supposedly admit that in the background, because he didn't say that, like, it's not a quote, but supposedly, like, there were conversations within management, and that was one of Thibodeau's regrets. For him to admit that, that's growth, bro. That's a lot of growth, especially because how many times have we called him a stoned, how many times have us and Knicks fans on the internet called him a stubborn old head that won't change?
Oh, bro, all the time. Even before we signed him, this was his main.
Yeah, that
problem.
Was his own. That was his con.
That was one of his cons. That was his like one of his main cons. He doesn't trust the young players. It's just that he overtrusts his older players. You know what I mean? To the point where he won't give you that chance to earn that trust. You know what I mean? In a way. It's not that he doesn't let you. It's just that he takes things very slowly. So now he's noticing that, you know, times have definitely changed. And, you know, the kids that we have, they need to play now.
Yes. For him to admit that is big. Because that's evolution, dude. I don't know if it's going to lead to the same results that it led for the New York Giants, because that was a miraculous run that rarely happens. That's like a 1-in-a-million run.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be sweet if the Knicks do that next year and it leads to that. I doubt it. But if it leads to the growth of our young players and our young players develop under Tibbs and we actually make a little mini run to show that they developed, dude.
That's great. That also means all that Tibbs slander needs to stop.
Yes. Yes. At least when it happens, should it happen.
Because this is actually a magical year. This is the third year for everything. This is the third year as the team. This is the third year Tibbs has been with us. This is the third year.
Quickly and Toppin's third year is coming up.
Yes. And RJ.
RJ's fourth.
Fourth.
Yeah. That's still close enough.
So
close enough. I'll take it.
There's a lot of symbolism here. You know, I'm not really a spiritual Actually, I am. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I'm about to say, aren't you spiritual?
I am spiritual. I believe in numeric numbers. If you don't know what that means, that means like...
Numerology.
Basically, if you see 10-10, 11-11, I take those as signs and, you know.
So you're seeing three threes here.
So I'm seeing three threes.
Quickly, Toppin, Tibbs, and Leon Rose. Four threes.
There's a lot.
Leon Rose.
Let's see. Let's look up. What does 3-3 mean? Let's get curious here.
He's going to the Google. He's going to Google spiritual stuff. Knicks Anonymous is getting deep today.
We're getting deep, man. We got it all, man. I don't think ESPN does numeric numbers, do they?
Nah. I mean, they do statistics, but I don't know about numerology. What you got?
Uh-oh. Yo, bro, you're not going to believe this shit.
Is it bad?
No. Angel number 333 symbolizes encouragement in making the correct choices in life.
Holy, that's crazy. Oh, bro, we got to stop the show.
Yo.
That's wild, bro. That's some wild shit right there, bro. That means things is going up for us. That's how I'm taking that.
Yo, bro, you can't.
That's scary.
You can't make this shit up. You can't make this shit up, man.
So the numbers are in our favor.
Yo.
The zodiacs, the gods, the numbers. Bro, it's all adding up.
Angel number 333 can quite literally be experienced as strength in numbers and feel very protective and inspiring. Seeing 333 could also indicate support of a certain decision, as the number 3 is often associated with wisdom or the totality of mind, body, and spirit.
So we got to be looking out for some number 3s. Oh, man, I'm not really into that. I ain't really into that stuff, bro, but now you're going to be making
But that means that means somebody's going to make the right choice. And after what you just talked about with Tibbs owning up to what he's been doing, he might make that choice.
I think we should end the show with that, bro.
GG's.
It got kind of deep there. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying it got deep there.
No, because it's crazy how accurate that is.
Nah, it is. I didn't think it'd go in that direction, but... Hopefully the numbers align and the stars align and everything is all right. Let's see what happens.
So let's go, Knicks. Shout out to Knicks Anonymous family.